Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and we welcome back Dan Diggins, who is an expert in aviation on many, many levels as a pilot, former air traffic controller, aviation investigator, and chair and vice mayor of Holmes Beach down there near Bradenton, Florida. Dan, welcome back. Appreciate it.
Okay. Good morning, Larry.
Two things we want to discuss with you this morning. First, if we may ask about the UPS crash investigation process after that horrific fire with that fully loaded jet headed out of Louisville to Hawaii. This process takes a while, but it's really rare for an engine to fall off a jet on takeoff.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, this type airplane has a tragic history of having the left engine fall off back in 1979 out of Chicago, American Airlines Flight 191, which is a DC-10, which was the passenger version of the MD-11. Same basic airframe, different engines and different avionics, but same basic airframe. An engine fell off and killed everybody aboard. That was back in May of 1979. So it's not unprecedented, but it's too early to tell the cause of it. The black boxes have been discovered. They found them. They're in Washington right now being read out, and the flight data recorder will give us a lot of information. And the cockpit voice recorder will tell us what the pilot said and how they reacted to the events that unfolded.
Dan, usually how many months does it take for the NTSB to wrap up an investigation like this?
Oh, this one will take at least 2 years.
Someone might say, Dan, why 2 years when we have all this video that now with technology, we've seen door cam video, we've seen multiple angles and the fact that it happened so quickly off takeoff, why would it take 2 years?
Well, the cameras and all the video tell you what happened. They don't tell you why it happened. So we don't know if it's some type of a fatigue failure in an engine mount. We don't know if it was a bad maintenance. We don't know if somebody forgot to put something on. Those things take a lot of time. Again, the investigations determine a probable cause why it happened. We clearly know what happened, but the why takes the time.
All right. That said, let's shift gears. Unprecedented. Here we are, day 37 of the government shutdown, and now the FAA is going to cut back on the levels of flight operations. I've never heard of this happening under these circumstances before.
That is true. The problem is there's 160 terminal radar approach controls in the country. There's 20 air route traffic control centers, and there's about 400 towers across the country. The towers control the airplanes on the ground, both landing and taking off and taxiing. The radar approach controls control the traffic around the major airport within about 30 miles, and then the air route traffic control centers control the traffic en route at high altitude. And what happens is each facility is split into sectors, and those sectors are determined by geometry and how many airplanes they can handle at a time. A controller can handle 10 or 20 airplanes at a time, depending upon their phase of flight. And if you don't have enough controllers, then you have to combine these sectors. And instead of looking at a range of 100 miles, now a controller is looking at a range of 200 miles with twice the airplanes. So you have to pull back.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back the number of airplanes in that airspace. So that's probably the simplest way to say why we're cutting this traffic.
Well, Dan, some people would say, why is this such a big deal? I mean, airplanes fly so far apart. at altitude, but I guess that there's this factor of speed comes into play.
Yeah, it's a four-dimensional game. Latitude, longitude, altitude, and time. And they're doing 500 to 600 miles an hour. So time is not your friend when they're going that fast. So decisions have to be made quickly because airplanes just can't move that fast. They're not fighter jets. And you have to control the volume of traffic in a given airspace. And that's what ground delay programs do. Ground delay programs are probably the most effective thing because most airports use a runway for a landing and another runway for departures. And if you only have one runway that's available for landing and they're 2 miles apart, 3 miles apart on final, that means you can land 30 airplanes an hour. But if there's 60 airplanes scheduled for that airport, you can only land 30, then you have to keep 30 on the ground and kick them into the next hour and then the next hour, and that compounds throughout the day. That's called a ground delay program. And then a ground stop is you just stop all the flights going to, say, Chicago or Pittsburgh or places like that. Anybody departing an airport anywhere in the country going to that airport, they cannot depart, and that's what a ground stop is.
We're with Dan Diggins, aviation expert. That said, you've been a traffic controller. I'm sure you've talked to people that are still doing that. I understand it's a high-stress job, and not getting paid to do it has to take its toll. Clearly, it has.
Yeah, it's a tough job. I enjoyed the job. It was not stressful for me, and a lot of guys, it's not stressful. It's kind of fun. But if you have that mentality, you can handle it pretty well. But it does wear on you. It does wear on you a little bit. And if you're working 6 hour days, 10 hour days, and you're working twice the traffic you normally work, that takes a toll. And then when you go home, you got to try to figure out how to pay bills. So it really is a challenging environment. And I think the controllers have done an outstanding job to actually keep the system going this long.
Dan, I'm curious to know about going back to the ground stop and the delay program you were referring to. Can the FAA order a ground stop at a particular airport? Can controllers, say to their superiors, hey, we've got a real problem here. We need to dial this down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that occurs. That occurs often. Often. And the supervisors are there, and each facility has a traffic management unit that manages the traffic overall, you know, the number of arrivals, number of departures that can operate in an hour. And they institute these programs, and the controller says, okay, no more. Let me clean up what I have in this sector, get them on the ground, and then you can give me some more airplanes. And that happens, but that has a ripple effect, because if you can't take more airplanes in your sector, then they back up in the previous sector, and then it backs up in the previous sector. And then FAA headquarters, command center gets involved. They're out in Herndon, Virginia. They get involved, and then they institute type ground stops or delay programs to manage the traffic in these sectors. So the biggest problem is when you have to combine positions, and when you combine the positions, there are two different types of frequencies. One position has one VHF frequency, and another position has another VHF frequency. So if the controllers work in both positions, the pilots in one cannot hear the pilots in the other one, so they can't get quite a good mental picture of what's going on in the airspace. So it does have some type of compounding effect of safety.
Fascinating. Really appreciate your time, Dan, and your expertise. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome. Nice talking to you, Larry.
You too. Dan Diggins, who is an aviation expert.
I'll say.
Yeah, his resume is ridiculous. So
yeah, he sounds exactly like the kind of a person I would want, you know, handling my flight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.